Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Horror Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. I ask you guys to do me a favor, please. Like and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and or Stitcher, whichever platform you are listening to the cast on. And if you are familiar with that theme music, you know it is the theme music for The Walking Dead. So that tells us what? You guessed it. We have information, not necessarily on The Walking Dead, but in The Walking Dead sphere. Third Walking Dead series gets official title and new teaser. During the last Sunday's night's mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, which technically was week before last because we did not do a Thanksgiving episode, but there was the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, The Walking Dead, the original grandfather series, which I gotta tell you guys, I haven't watched in, I want to say two seasons. Whenever it was Rick disappeared, I disappeared. So, I didn't see this teaser that night. I had to see it the next day. But during a commercial break, the AMC, the network, aired a brand new teaser for the third scripted Walking Dead series. And they revealed the official name for the show. It will be called The Walking Dead World Beyond. I guess the plan is to keep expanding the universe. You know what I'm saying? Just keep expanding it and keep expanding it, which is good because it'll probably find an audience like the other show that I can't think of the name of right now for some reason. I don't know why, but it just dropped completely out of my head before I started talking. Very, very sad. But anyway, you get to see, you know, that same pesky helicopter with that took Rick Grimes away. When he left The Walking Dead, that helicopter that flied over and picked him up with Althea, you know, met one of the pilots or something, and her name is Isabel. But they all appear a little less friendly than, you know, the other people. Let's see. It's still created by Scott Gimple, and it says the former producer and writer for The Walking Dead, Matt Tigari, will serve as a showrunner for the new series. So he kind of left The Walking Dead to go back to The Walking Dead, but okay. We'll pretend like it's different completely. But anyway, The Walking Dead World Beyond will debut spring 2020. That's going to be weird. I'm going to learn how to... We all got to get used to saying that. You know, it takes, what, a whole month before you start putting a correct date on things? But it said it will feature two young female protagonists and will focus on the first generation to come of age in the apocalypse as we know it. It's kind of sad that they killed off little Carl, because that's how Rick said it, Carl. Because Carl could have been there because he grew up under the apocalypse and, you know, he'd be a young man now. It'd be actually perfect, but they killed him off. So anyway, some will become heroes and some will become villains. In the end, all of them will be changed forever, grown up and cemented in their identities, both good and bad. Okay, so the new cast members will include Julia Ormond, because she was in the trailer. I don't recognize anybody else, to be quite honest, to the fact that I know their name. But the trailer is everywhere, and you can find it. I'm not going to put it up on the site. I'll probably watch the first episode and see what it's about. And I'll discuss if I like it, just to be honest with you. I'm kind of over The Walking Dead's world, to be honest. But it is what it is. Nonetheless, let's move on to a show that's new and that I do really, really like so far because I want to know what the hell is going on. And that is Servant, which is already on Apple TV right now. And the news is that M. Night Shyamalan's Servant was renewed for season two by Apple ahead of the premiere last week. They did a really cool thing, which I appreciate. They dropped three episodes, which we'll discuss at a later date, probably next week in the TV watching, because I have something else to discuss today with you guys. So, nonetheless, Apple has confirmed a season two pickup already for M. Night Shyamalan's Servant ahead of the psychological thriller season premiere, which was next week, which was last week. Again, we didn't do an episode for Thanksgiving. Shyamalan, he told everybody on his appearance of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And let's see, what do we know? It aired, you know, November 28th, and new episodes will roll out weekly on every Friday. The first three episodes are already available, like I said, but a new episode will be up today. And I hope you guys watch it. It is so strange. If you don't know it, let's just go ahead and say it. It's directed by Shyamalan, and it was created by Tony Basagolap. I probably didn't pronounce it right. I'm really bad at names. And you would think if you guys knew what my real name is, I would be better at it because I hate when people fuck up my name, but I do it continuously. So I'm probably need to ease up on that. But anyway, Servant follows a Philadelphia couple in mourning after an unspeakable tragedy creates a rift in their marriage and opens the door for a mysterious force to enter their home. I don't know if I would have kind of put it like that. We'll just do it really briefly. What happened was the couple lost their child. I want to say it. He may have been maybe a month old, maybe even younger than that when he passed away. And the mom, she did not handle it well. And so they give her literally a doll for therapy. That is actually a real thing. I've heard of it. And so it's kind of a real doll is what they call those dolls. And they actually do that for real. It's supposed to help them cope, I think, and learn how to mourn. I don't know if it's supposed to go as far as this one goes, where they actually hire a nanny for the doll. Yeah. And being because it is M. Night Shyamalan, a lot of hijinks ensue. Even in those first three episodes, you want to find out where this nanny comes from, because she comes in and treats this doll like a baby, even when the mom's not present and the dad's like, she's not here, you can knock it off. Girl does not knock it off. Looks at him like he's crazy. And it's just one thing after the next. And they're really short little episodes. They're only like 30 minutes each, but a lot is happening in each of those 30 minutes. Now, I guess somebody at Apple is really confident in M. Night Shyamalan to where they went ahead and renewed it for a second season. I really like this dude. I like his work for the most part, but he can fuck up some shit like really quickly. I've seen it go really bad. He's very patchy and kind of hit and miss. He's not like he was, I think, when he first came on the scene. Everybody was just, because he was so young and he was just uber impressive. He made this really bomb ass movie with Haley Joel Osment and Bruce Willis. And he sees dead people, and I lost the title of the fucking movie just that quickly. Anyway, but his first movie, you know, was the twist. It began the twist era in horror. And so he's always, you know, patted on the back for that, as he should be. But the work got a little bad. You know, he's the one with Mark Wahlberg. And it could have just been Mark Wahlberg, but I don't know. It was just like, I should have looked at the name of that too. But a lot of his work has been just bad. And they must be really confident in the fact that this is going to continue to be good. The first three episodes, like I've seen, I encourage you to watch them, have been stellar. So there's that. But okay, I would have played it like, we'll see. But, you know, perhaps they know something we don't.
I got any bad issues with your brother?
I hit her first.
Our relationship was complicated, and it was all my fault.
This guy's coding.
Checking airways.
Isaac. It's his brother.
Isaac's been dead for over a year,
but
I never saw his body.
Now, I have a situation.
I know. It sounds crazy. He's at my house right now with Sam.
I just can't believe you're here. We thought you were dead.
Maybe I was. You really got the perfect life here, don't you, big bro?
Isaac, you're bleeding.
I got you.
It's burning up.
Trying to kill me?
Oh. Isaac!
My brother's not in a good way. I don't know what he got himself mixed up in.
Jacob. You okay? You don't seem different.
Hello. I think something followed Isaac home.
Are you certain it's him?
Jacob.
I'm hearing things. I'm seeing things. Faces.
Hey, baby.
What are you doing?
Demons. They're coming after me. Because of Isaac.
Jake, what is going on?
Do you think I'm making this up?
The only thing that burns in hell...
They're all in on it.
...is the part of yourself...
No! No!
...that refuses to let go. You will see devils tearing your life apart.
Was the trailer for Jacob's Ladder 2019. Yes, there is a such thing. I wanted to watch this because I had never previously watched the first one, which came out in 1990. And when I saw they were making a remake of it, yeah, I was like intrigued. And so since this is the end of the year and I'm trying to get in everything that I missed, I've counted it up. I've watched about 40 freaking horror movies in the last year. Some big studios, some small studios, and it's just like, wow, I can't believe. And I still have a shit ton more to watch, so I can do a proper end of the year list. I'm really looking forward to it, to doing it this year, because usually it's just online, you know, my top 10 best and top 10 worst. But I'm gonna have, I don't know how fucking long that episode will be, but I'm really excited to do it this year. Because you'll hear my groaning and moaning and meh in real life. And I'm going to try to have a guest with me. Probably my friend. Again, my oldest friend. She'll come on and do it with me. Because I've converted her into the horror head like the rest of us. Anyway, so this is 2019's remake or retelling of Jacob's Ladder. And it's slightly different. Actually, it's a lot different. It has a predominantly African-American cast. Go figure. Look at that. And it's not surprising because it is actually produced by Will Packard. And I don't know if you guys know who that is, but Will Packard is a pretty big deal. In horror. I mean, not in horror. Just in film in general. He has made a lot. Hold on, I want to go just give you a little bit of a brief of his resume for those of you who don't know who Will Packer is. He produced Girl Trips, he produced Takers, remember Takers with all the hot boys, he produced Obsessed with Beyonce and again with Idris, the African-American crowd will know he did this movie called TWAB, which was batshit crazy. It started out as really fun, ended up with some blood and some murder and some death and some carnage. Things we like. He produced Think Like a Man. Let's see. Oh, he produced Little. He co-produced Little. He's doing something for the Atlanta Child Murders, which I'm really interested in. He's going to do a kind of a doc thing, a true crime thing with that. And I'm really interested in that. He did Night School. So he's pretty prolific. Breaking In, Almost Christmas. Let's see. Is that enough? Do you guys get what I'm throwing down? He's a very prolific African-American producer and director. So for him to come on there, want to redo this, I was really intrigued to see what his production company had done with it. It is directed by David M. Rosenthal, who has directed a couple of things. The Perfect Guy. Let's see. I'm trying to do some stuff that is kind of universal known. He's not kind of that big as of yet. He did this movie called Falling Up in 2009. He'll get there, perhaps. But the film nonetheless stars Michael Ealy, whom some of you might know, also in Think Like a Man, also in Takers, also in Barbershop, also in For Colored Girls. He's really a hot boy. So ladies, you will enjoy looking at him nonetheless. Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy, The Cabin in the Woods, some more things, his BET speech. You guys know who Jesse Williams is. And it also stars Nicole Beharie. And if you don't know who that is, you should, because she not only starred in Shame with Fassbender a couple of years ago, she was Abby Mills from Sleepy Hollow. And I think she has a show now that I haven't watched, I hate to say. I think she's back on TV, but she did one of the more interesting episodes of this season of Black Mirror too. You should check that out. But you know, you'll know her from being Abby Mills on Sleepy Hollow if you watch that show. Anyway, so this version of Jacob's Ladder stars Michael Ealy as Jacob. And after his brother returns home from war, Jacob Singer struggles to maintain his sanity. He's plagued by hallucinations and flashbacks. Singer rapidly falls apart as the world around him and the people around him morph into disturbing images. They did call it a remake of the 1990 thriller starring Tim Robbins. It's on its own. And what I made sure to do was I watched this one first so I would have no bias and no opinion before I watched the original. And if this was on its own and just that, I wouldn't have too much of a problem with it. Overall, it's a pretty doable film. And I was looking to see if it played in any theaters, because frankly, it shouldn't have. It's good for what it is. It should be a direct to stream or digital or something on all these lines. And if it's on like cable and you're sitting there, watch it. You know, it's a watchable film. Is it great? No. Is it life changing? No. I appreciate what they tried to do. The actors, the acting, the actors, they're you know, pretty sufficient in what they did and what they tried to do. The effects are kind of not the greatest, but I'm sure that the budget wasn't either. So I think they kind of worked with what they had. Again, it's perfectly fine. Now, after I finished that, I went and watched the 1990 version, and I remembered the gist of it. Like, I remember, because I was like about 13 or something, maybe 14 when this movie came out, and I wasn't interested at all because I knew it had something to do with Vietnam vets, and I hate to say it, I wasn't interested in that at all at 13 or 14. I can't remember which age. I know it was 1990, so depending on what part of the year, I'll just say 14. When you go and stack it against the 1990s version, yeah, that's when you're like, what the fuck? This is terrible. The 1990s version is so much better. I hate to say it because I think Michael Ealy is fine. He's a sufficient actor, as is Jesse Williams, as is Nicole Barriere. They're perfectly acceptable. But the 1990s version has Tim Robbins, who is a stellar actor, right? And Elizabeth Pena and Danny Aiello and just Pruitt Taylor Vance is even in it. And Eric LaSalle and Ving Rhames. I mean, just heavyweights, right? So it's just hitting you with these just badass actors. And it's just a better movie. I think it because both of them paralleled each other, where they both tried to give these war flashbacks with, you know, 1990s version being Vietnam, then 2019 being Afghanistan. And I didn't, it had no, when you watch 1990 version, then you turn around and watch it, you just see why this movie, why Jacob's Ladder is lauded and why critics really like it and why it is still discussed and talked about. It's just a better film. This one, you know, okay, so in the 1990s version, mourning his dead child, a haunted Vietnam War vet attempts to uncover his past while suffering from a severe case of dissociation. To do so, he must decipher reality and life from his own dreams, delusions, and perceptions of death. Now, with the, I'm going to spoil alert right here. In the 2019 version, they had him, the twist is that it's all based on this weird drug that the vets are taking that's having, they have delusions or whatever, and things aren't happening. With the 1990 version of the film, he's already dead. And everything is occurring that's supposed to be 1990 that's occurring has never happened, because he died in, what, 1973, or I don't know, I'm so bad at this. He died during the war, whenever that was, 1970-something, whenever Vietnam was happening. And it's all him just fighting for his life or whatever. And so he sees these demons, which when you find out at the end that he's dead, you realize that him seeing this girlfriend, it's demons. He's fighting the demons because I guess it's a struggle between heaven and hell with him. And, you know, during his death. And, you know, it's the same story with the son dying, which is played by a very young Macaulay Culkin, by the way. Such a cute little kid. Such an angelic cherub-faced child. He passed away. And so, you know, I'm so happy to understand finally, because I remember the trailer a little bit from when I was younger, watching that trailer and him sitting on them steps. I didn't understand what the hell was going on, but now I get it. He's sitting on the steps and he takes his dad's hand and they walk up the steps. And that's when he, you know, quote unquote, quote the old people, gives up the ghost and dies. He passes away. And then you flash to back to Vietnam and he's dying and they're calling it on the table. Just really good imagery. Very good. You know, it's just better. But again, if you watch it in reverse and watch the first one, I mean the newest one first, and then watch the the original, you don't get as like, oh man, this is terrible. So that's our movie review, and I wasn't gonna try to do it like a written form, but I'm not going to. I don't think it warrants it. It'll be interesting to see where I place it on the best of or the worst of list, whether it'll make the top 10 cut, because there's still time for shit to get really worse. And I have a feeling it is. Let's see. I just want to drop some names of some more things that I watched, and I will tell you to check out if you haven't. Let's see. I also watched Lynn Shay's Room for Rent. I liked it. I did like it. Lynn Shay's just, she's another really just good actress. And in the movie, she's this widow, this recent widow who decides to, you know, turn her house into a B&B. And this young couple comes and the husband's just like an asshole and kind of semi-abusive to the wife, verbally and probably emotionally. I hope not physically. We don't know. We're not told that. But she comes really attached to the lady and she's really lonely. And you just feel all this compassion for her. Then you find out she's kind of batshit crazy. That's another one. If you have Amazon Prime already, it's playing on there. Again, if it's on TV, it's perfectly fine to check it out. So that's Room for Rent with Lynn Shay. Let's see. What else did I watch besides the two Jacob's Ladders? It was a long holiday weekend. So, you know, I didn't go home. I stayed here with the puppy. So I'm trying to catch up on all the stuff I'm supposed to have seen this year. I also watched Mary with Gary Oldman, and I cannot think of the lady. It's about a boat, and it's a ghost story on the sea, on the high seas. It's very disappointing because it is Gary Oldman. I just expect so much more from that dude. But I guess everybody's entitled to have a garbage movie in their repertoire every now and then, and I guess he's no different. It's just really weird because he's currently also in what people are lauding is really good. And to me, I have a different opinion of it, but he's I'm sorry. I'm putting him with the wrong actor. Sorry. Never mind. Scratch that. So it does start. It's just Gary Oldman. Oh, Emily Mortimer. That's the lady. She's also a really well-known actress. It's just not good. I was very shocked and disappointed, to say the least, as you can hear my voice. I'm not even going to bother to tell you. Because, you know, I love ghost stories, and I was expecting more. This ain't it. So I would just say just go ahead and skip it. The other movie that I saw was The Lighthouse, which stars Willem Dafoe. That's who I was confusing Gary Oldman with. And Robert Pattinson. And it's kind of just them two. It's in black and white. It's they pay two lighthouse keepers. And they're stuck on this remote, you know, England, New England Island in the early 1890s, just in the 1890s. And they both kind of just go insane from being just them two in this lighthouse. There's very, I apologize. There's very few speaking between the two of them, and they just descend into madness. I gotta say, it's art house. It's beautiful. Not my bad. I fell asleep. But you should also check it out. Most people love it. I'm just not one of those people. So those are the movie reviews.
I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I'm giving a dinner at the house. Just a few folks from the firm. I'd like you to be there. Ring up your wife and see if she'd care to join us.
It could be arranged for one employee to receive a Christmas bonus this year. Two candidates, one enviable new role. One of you will become expendable.
I was hoping there'd be games tonight.
You're up for this rather unorthodox job interview?
This is wrong on so many levels.
We have got our eye on you.
Ho, ho, ho!
Stop it! Stop it! Get away from him!
That is the trailer for episode 3, season 2 of Hulu and Blumhouse's Into the Dark. This episode will be airing today, streaming today on Hulu, and it's so good, guys. You guys will love this episode, I think, if you are sick and demented like I am. And if you're listening to the podcast, that's probably highly likely. It is called Nasty Piece of Work, and it stars Julian Sands, who you might recognize from Warlock. He's the blonde dude. It also stars Molly Hagen, Angela Serafin, who is from Westwood. Dustin Milligan, whom I saw in something really recently, and I can't remember what it was, but Kyle Howard from House of Wrestling from When We Were Young, and Minority Report, and the full review is up now on horrortale.com. It's just so good. What happens in this episode, you guys? Hold on one second. Let me pull up my notes and do better. Nasty Piece of Work is the tale of a mid-level employee at a large company finds out he's not getting the Christmas bonus or promotion he was expecting. But then his boss invites him over for dinner with a proposal for how he can climb the corporate ladder by beating his professional rival in a violent competition. That is saying the least about a whole lot of extra and most that went on in this episode. It's hard to say if it knocks out my favorite episode of the season, which is still the Halloween episode, even though Pilgrim, which was Thanksgiving, was really pretty good. But this was something. And there is a body count, because it wouldn't be Into the Dark if there wasn't. But it's a small body count, but there is a lot of blood, put it that way. It does the unexpected, and it's very clever. It's one of the more clever episodes, in my opinion. And it's acted very well, because Julian Sands is also a pretty good actor, and everybody else held their own. So that kind of ups the volume a little bit. And I really don't want to say if it's knocking out the body, because the body is my favorite, because it was the first one and it was really good. The Halloween episode, this year's Halloween episode, which was the first episode of the season, which was called Uncanny Annie. And now this one has entered for the third, the trifecta, if you will. But I don't know. I'm still torn on the order just yet. It's good. It's good, because it's doing what it's supposed to do. I don't want to tell you anything, but I'll just say it's the most twisted fucking version of, you know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, the film with Elizabeth Taylor and her husband. I cannot think of his name either, but I watched the film a long time ago. Love Elizabeth Taylor. And so they're doing like this really crazy kind of demented version of it. It's really twisted. But it's a good test of, are you a good person? You know what I'm saying? It's a good exercise. Are you a good person? What would you do to get ahead? And being that it takes place in Los Angeles, man, and we're so freaking poor out here, you have to you have to work really hard to carve out a good living here. So I was sitting there watching the episode thinking, would I do that? But there's a I don't want to spoil, because again, I don't try to do that for you guys, because I do want you to watch the episode. So borrow somebody's Hulu password if you don't have it. But if you have Hulu, definitely check it out. It's one of those where you definitely need to see it, because I would love to know what you guys think, your opinions on it. But I was also just kind of chuckled to myself, because there's a moment where they have to figure out how to get rid of a body. And I already had that figured out too. I was like, no, do this, you know, but I wasn't there. I think I might have won the competition, which is, I don't know if it's good or sad, but nonetheless, it is airing today, streaming today on Hulu. And the review is also up on horrorfatale.com. I hope this episode made sense. I feel like I was doing a lot of rambling because I was trying to get a lot of stuff in and a lot of information to you guys. But we're still under that 40-minute mark, which is what I aim to always do. Except for those year-end episodes. I'm really excited about doing those casts for you guys, because I'm going to turn up the volume. I hope you guys have listened to, I want to invite you to go back and listen to episode before last, where I had the interview with HBO's Sydney Fleischman. Thank you once again for coming on the podcast, where she discussed Room 106. It has had its finale last week, and it will be back, and we will continue to tell you all the good things about it. Hopefully, maybe we'll get Cindy to come back on, or even maybe one of the actors from one of the episodes. Cross your fingers. But in the new year, guys, I promise you it's gonna be better. I have contacts, and I was just, that first interview with her was kind of me getting my feet wet and trying to figure out how to do this properly. But some big things are coming in 2020 for the little cast that could, that's what I'm calling it. But that is all for today's cast. Next week we have a couple of more films to scratch off the list, and Black Christmas will be a thing. I hope the people will give me screening passes. But if not, I'll spend my own dime, you gotta see. But hopefully I'll get a screening pass and I'll be able to get my review to you guys early about Black Christmas. But until next time, I ask you to follow me on Instagram at The Horror Fatale, and on Twitter at Horror Fatale. Cheers, y'all, and sweet nightmares.
Every day, Jacob Singer goes to work.
What's wrong?
It's one of those days.
And every day, he wonders what is happening to him.
Maybe it's the pressure, Jake.
They're like demons, Jess. They weren't human.
What were they, Jake?
Let me look at your hand.
You have a very strange line.
See, according to this, you're already dead.
Something's wrong, Jake. They're coming after me. I don't know who they are or what they are, but they're gonna get me, and I'm scared, Jake.
I've seen them too.
Maybe the demons are real.
He's running 106 feet with...
This is barbaric.
I can get rid of the demons.
Who are you?
I can block the ladder.
Who are you?
Where are you taking me? Where am I?
Where do you want to go?
Home.
This is your home. You're dead.
I'm not dead.
What are you then?
I'm alive.